Welcome back, Mistakes listeners. This is Dave, and this is episode 80. This week, Todd and I actually, well, 2 weeks ago, Todd, well, actually now, 3 weeks ago, Todd and I went to go see Rogue One. And of course, we felt it was necessary for us to get on and basically toot our horn about how we feel about Rogue One. But of course, our bent is always, is this movie good for kids or not? Anyway, it's good to be back, as always, into a new year, 2017, and we've got more episodes looking at you, so sit back, and as always, enjoy the show. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook at Parenting Mistakes, you can follow us on Twitter at Parent Mistakes, and you can email us at hotmail@parentsnake. You can email us at parentmistakes@hotmail.com. And like I said before, and again, I'll say it again. Enjoy the show. So guess what, Todd?
Tell me.
We have a second chance at life. Right?
That's what you're going to start with?
Why not? Because this would be episode 80, part
okay.
Episode Redux, Redo, part 2. I don't know. We're re-recording this episode on Rogue One because we felt like... we had a technical glitch in which, for some reason, it did not record our episode, right? So now we are taking a second stab of talking about Star Wars, the Star Wars story, Rogue One, Star Wars.
Star Wars, the Star Wars story, Rogue One.
I know it's early on a Friday, obviously.
Maybe there's a reason that the first one went into the garbage there.
Star Wars, the Star Wars movie. At least they didn't just call it Star Wars, right? Rogue One? Like, the new trend now is it's a re-envisioning, yeah, right? Just call it right. Star Wars.
I thought you were going to say something really deep and philosophical that we have a second chance at life or something like that. I thought you had
well, that's
some
true.
Sort of
every day is a new day, right?
Epiphany.
No, we actually have a second chance at this episode. Yeah, right?
Right. So because really all this amounts to is somehow we screwed up and you're telling our listeners that.
Yes, that is correct. That is our intro today. And the thing that's nice about it is now we're seasoned veterans at this particular episode. We're good at this episode because we've done it before.
Okay.
But the audience has only done it once, which makes it even better, right?
I guess so.
Sure, because we've done one episode before that went into the ether. Now we're going to redo it for our audience, and it's only going to be better. And I'll tell why. I'll tell you why.
Here's the problem.
No, there is no problem. There's no pop quizzes today. There's no problems. Go ahead. What's our problem?
Well, the problem, just like parenting, you do something, and then you go to do it again, and then you ask yourself, did I do it right the first time?
Yes.
Should I tweak something? I mean, I did it. We want to maintain some level of consistency with our parenting, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But parenting is trial and error.
Why are you trying to put meaning on this? What's wrong with you? This is the HD enhanced version of our Rogue One episode.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Well, that's what Lucas would do, right?
Okay.
Speaking of which, I actually haven't told you, but last night, I mean, you're the first person I'll tell. My wife, well, I did tell my wife this, but I had
okay.
a dream. I had a dream last night.
Oh,
that
boy.
George Lucas and I were sitting down to talk about his next movie. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a dream come true. I'm actually finally talking to George Lucas, and my daughter woke me up. She came in the room and said, Mama, can I use the iPad? No! George, come back! He was gone in a poopy second. Yep. So,
okay.
There you go. Not that I've ever dreamed about George Lucas before. That was my first dream about George. Right? I mean,
okay.
He affects our lives almost on a weekly basis.
That's kind of
whatever, right?
Creepy-sounding dream.
But I was giving him recommendations for his next movie. Maybe I was in the dream world connection zone where you can actually talk to your favorite directors and give them ideas.
Yeah, except that George Lucas isn't going to be involved in them going forward. So
but this is his next movie. This is like the
How do you
movie
know he's
he going to
make
made.
More movies?
American Graffiti 2.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, before we get to Star Wars, I have a parenting update.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and this is in the column of our children can continue to surprise us. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Constantly, every day I'm surprised, right?
Right.
True story. Yep.
Right.
I actually explained to my daughter last week, I said, you're one of the most intriguing people I know because you change, you do something new for me almost every day that's unexpected.
Well, yes, and you're in a phase right now where you've got more – I think you've got more obvious change.
Yes, that's true.
It starts to get a little more subtle when they're older,
mm-hmm.
as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So I told you that my son went out for soccer.
Yes, you did.
Remember this?
Yes, I do.
He went out for soccer, having never played soccer in his entire life.
Right, and he ended up being the keeper.
The keeper.
Yes.
And here's what's funny. He's doing really well. Like people have said, he doesn't look like he is a brand new keeper.
He
looks like he knows what he's looked like he's been out there for years.
Does that surprise you?
Not. It doesn't shock me, but it's still always interesting because you think you know.
Oh, that's right, because you were, like, in our last conversation about this, you're like, well, Jonathan, you know, I think you have your limits here. You've never done it before, you haven't been training for it, and you're just going to go into it, and I know that you and Laura are big-time planners. When you guys set out to do something, there's months of discussion and training that are involved to go on just a vacation.
Well, that is true. It's more about, and it's kind of this interesting balance with parenting. Like, we want to foster in our kids that childlike innocence, that optimism. I can do whatever I put my mind to.
Yeah. You're an American. Yeah.
Yeah. But then there's also the flip side of you don't really know what it takes to do this thing.
Right.
It's the kid wanting to be an astronaut thing. And you say, yeah, you could be an astronaut. That's possible. This is a free country. You could work your way up.
Hey, next year people are going to Mars, so
yeah.
So they say.
But you also in the back of your mind say, being an astronaut is a very, very rare job description.
Yes.
Very rare. There's very few people.
Considering we don't really have a shuttle program right now, right?
Correct.
SpaceX is blowing rockets up, so who knows if we're going to Mars.
So, JV soccer is a much smaller hurdle to overcome than astronaut.
Yeah.
But you still, you know, you're sort of like, okay, well, let's see how this goes. And it's gone great. So that's fun.
No. Sorry. That was a good leap. I like that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I got so let's leap back morning. To astronauts and talk about Rogue One.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Right.
Or as I like to call it, Star Wars 3.9.
Right.
For those of you scoring at home, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 3.9.
3.9, correct.
Yes. Or maybe 3.95.
I was going to say, you could almost say like 3.99. Because it really does link to
it
A
does
New
link.
Hope. Right. Now, last time when we did this before, we had talked about spoilers. And again, now this episode is going to be way out there. If you haven't seen this movie, there's definitely going to be spoilers. Hopefully you've seen it. I mean, the whole point behind Parenting Mistakes is to kind of catch people before they take their kids.
Correct.
To see Rogue One. We're a little bit late on this. So now it's more or less... Hey, Dave and Todd, talk about the train wreck that Star Wars Rogue One.
It wasn't a train wreck.
Sure.
Right. We got to focus. We got to focus on the parenting aspect of it. We could discuss it, like whether we liked the movie. I saw a friend of mine on Facebook yesterday just absolutely slaughtered it. Thought it was awful.
Yeah.
Like, but he was talking about science fiction, and
well,
I wanted to say, you know, Star Wars is not necessarily science fiction. It's opera. It just happens to be set in space.
Right.
Star Trek is much more science fiction. They're much more fascinated with the actual physical phenomena.
Although Gene Roddenberry would never say that. Never would he ever say that. No, they're really – neither Star Trek nor Star Wars are true science fiction.
Yeah, we're not examining – this isn't a educational experience. It's
right.
Still – protagonist, antagonist.
One thing that George Lucas has said over the years is that what he always says is the special effects are just a tool. It's a story that's important to me. What I'm
right.
trying to purvey on the screen. So, you know, his Joseph Campbell bent on the hero's
right.
journey is what Star Wars
right.
is about. Gene Roddenberry has also said, this is my voice. Yes, it's set in space in the future, but I want you to know that these stories are the things that I've always wanted to say and be told, and I couldn't say them in the 60s on, say, a normal show like Bonanza or something.
Correct. But ultimately, and I don't know, we've debated about our relative Star Wars geekness.
Yes.
How high a level we go up the chain there. I don't know if George Lucas has specifically addressed this, but Star Wars is still generally regarded as being geared towards children, or at least having children in mind.
He has said this about the prequels. I am not sure if he has said it about the central three, but as far as the prequels is concerned, he has continually said these movies are for kids.
Which is interesting if you think about the fact that the prequels are much more political. They're much more – I mean, they get more into sort of the minutiae of government and bureaucracy and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the obvious question. Who should see this movie in terms of kids?
Well, when I process it, I was thinking that anybody that sits around in their tweens – has the ability to go see Rogue One. I think anybody below that, if we're just cutting to the chase,
right.
there's some contextual things about the film that are just kind of rough, right? The
yes.
opening sequence with Captain Caspian?
Cassian?
Cassian. Sorry, not
Caspian.
Hey, Prince Caspian.
Yes.
the Tolkien reference. But no, Cassian. He is a rebel. And he sees fit to basically do whatever it takes to continue forth with the rebel agenda. And if that means killing somebody off because he's got information, or actually this guy is wounded and he realizes if he's captured by the Empire, he'll reveal my secrets or the rebellion secrets. So he just offs the guy. There's no other options for him. It's just a straight, we're going to be killing people because we've got to beat the Empire. We've got to be just as cutthroat as the Empire is, which is kind of the story here. That's what's revealed about the rebels. And I want to say, here's something interesting, Todd, as we get into this today. In our earlier review that did not go out, I was pretty hard on this film, but my heart has changed a little bit on it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I kind of, now as time gone on, I've kind of enjoyed it a little bit more, like, processing and thinking about it. And I think what's been interesting is that a lot of the guys that are Debbie Downers on Rogue One, they can't believe – what I've realized is that they've got holes in their they've got holes in their theories about why it's bad.
Okay.
And so I've kind of changed my opinion a little bit on it. But what I haven't changed on it is that it's extremely violent.
Yes.
It's a very violent film. And it's a war movie. I mean, we talked about opera at the beginning, but I think my criticism of the film is that it lacks a lot of fun. Right? Like, I think, you know, just talking about, say, the Daniel Craig James Bonds right now.
Right.
They're no fun. You know, in making comparison to a lot of the movies that are out there, it's not fun to be Batman. It's certainly not fun to be Superman. It's not fun to be James Bond. Nor is it fun to be in a Star Wars movie. Right? There wasn't actually ever a sequence in the first three original films, nor in the prequels, where, well, I take that back. Yeah, younglings were killed, but you actually never see a youngling get killed in episode three. In this particular, I can't call it an episode, a Star Wars story, you actually see kids on the street that potentially could get killed, right? And if it wasn't for our main protagonist, who says, geez, there's a kid out there, I should probably save her, the rest of them would have ignored her and just kept on fighting the Imperials, and maybe that kid would have gotten shot or not. I don't know.
Right. Okay, so here is where I get stuck, and this is, I don't have an easy answer for this. You talked about violence, and you were correct. But what is it about violence that makes us hesitant to put it in front of children? Is it the concept of violence, or is it the specific visuals? Because, once again, we have very little blood. I don't know if there's any blood.
Yeah, not like in Episode 7 where you see Rey smear blood over that stormtrooper. The stormtrooper smears blood all over Finn's helmet.
Right.
Not Rey,
there is
Finn.
That, and then there's Kylo Ren at the end who's dripping blood on the
stormtrooper. Oh, yeah, he's got blood everywhere.
But we mentioned when in the practice recording that we did, we talked about a movie like Saving Private Ryan, where
right.
you just see gore upon gore upon gore, realistic gore.
Yeah, and this movie kind of riffs on that, right? So, but you don't see any holes in the heads or anything like that, for sure.
Right. My question is, what is it about the content itself that makes us hesitant? It's still, I hesitate to use this word because it's not really an appropriate way to describe it, but it's sort of clean violence. Like, it's still, you know, you shoot, you know, stormtroopers and they fall down.
Yep.
Right? Or there's a bomb that goes off and their bodies sort of go flying through the air and then they just sort of land. We don't have close-ups on someone's, you know, intestines being spilled all over the ground. We don't see gore. We don't have prolonged scenes of suffering.
Okay. Let me give you two examples as to what makes me concerned as a parent, because that's what you're trying to pinpoint here.
Yeah.
So the movie sets a tone that if a kid had watched Star Wars before, I was always under the impression, and up until now, that the Rebels were above reproach, right? They kind of recruited Han Solo, but he became better because he became
right.
a Rebel, right?
Right.
In this movie, it sets its tone that the Rebels are cutthroat and
right.
that there is death. So
right.
that tone has been set. And so when you see that little girl on the street who's in trouble, I know for a fact that my daughters would be heartbroken. Right? What's going to happen to her? Is she in trouble? And that might really disturb them, right? I think that's one point, is just disturbing imagery. Now, for a 45-year-old dude like myself, you know, I don't want to see the little girl hurt. But if she got hit, I've got some understanding or backing behind it. Like, okay, it's just a movie. I think for kids under a certain age, it isn't just a movie. It's sort of like a reality for them. That's why when I was watching a movie as a kid, it was always highly more impressionable. And I could watch a Roger Moore James Bond movie and walk out of it feeling – and I know you felt this too. You'd walk out of a movie and you're like, oh, I could be James Bond, right? I think that's a Goonies effect too. Like, oh, it'd be so cool to be Data, right? Oh my gosh, all those gadgets are really cool. So I'm much more impressionable at that point. I think the second point is, because of that impression, and that's where I'm leading into, I think you don't want your kids thinking the answer to all of my problems are to beat the living crap out of a stormtrooper with a stick. Right? Here's our heroine. She's going in, and she's going to kick, beep, right, all over the place. Right?
Okay.
And I don't want my kids walking out of the film at this point, who are very impressionable, thinking the answer to all of my problems are getting out my little metal stick or getting my laser gun and shooting everybody. Without context. I think that's the issue. They see the imagery, we see the context.
Okay, but
even though it's light violence is what you're saying, I'm
right.
saying
that
it's heavy that. Violence for that particular age group.
I get that. But again, here's my question. The scene that you're referencing, when there's a little girl and she's in the middle of a firefight,
mm-hmm.
that particular scene, our heroine still runs out in the middle of a scene where she should have been shot, realistically, and the little kid should have been shot. And they weren't, and she grabbed the kid and run off screen and hand her to her mother, and all is saved. That's still a it's a potentially frightening scene for a kid, but it's still resolved very quickly. Right?
Yes, and actually what's funny about that, man, you make a reference to Saving Private Ryan, the exact same thing happens in Private Ryan. Remember the family, the French family is trying to give their daughter away to the Americans, right? It's played out much differently. It's kind of crazy.
Well, and so that's the question, is that more impactful for a kid than say, and here's our spoiler alert, the fact that at the end of the film, all the characters that we may or may not have gotten attached to, the quote-unquote good guys, are all dead. They all fall. They establish these characters throughout the film. You know, here's our protagonist, and here's their friend, and now we're adding some secondary characters. They're going to help them. They're going to be a little band of good guys, and they're going to go save the universe. And one by one, we're going to knock them off.
Yep.
And at the end, the last two, who were the first two, are going to die in a blaze of glory.
Right.
Not necessarily a blaze of glory. I mean, they're sort of waiting to die. I mean, which again, may be better or worse if you think about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're bringing up a great third point, which is there's the specter of death throughout the entire film.
Right.
In fact, there's an ending sequence, which I don't want to spoil, but really leads up into episode 4, that if it wasn't in there, I think the movie would have ended on a real dour note.
Sure.
Right? And for kids who don't understand what episode 4 is, you're like, yeah, who is this person? I don't care.
Right.
All I know is that all the characters that I got really richly involved in with are now dead.
Right. Which, I don't know if that's as big a deal to kids. I don't know. That's hard to say.
Yeah, we talked in the last one. It's like, it's a marketing nightmare. I don't think it is. It's Star Wars. No matter what, they're going to make some bucks. And if they're great characters, they're great characters, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's a marketing – I don't know if it's a marketing nightmare, but I think that probably did give them a level of pause.
Yeah, we're going to kill all these characters.
We're going to kill all these characters, particularly because – and I don't know. I mean, in talking to folks that saw the movie that were surprised that they killed off all of the good guys, I part of me wanted to say you had to know this was coming. If you've watched the – other episodes, you know that this is not going to end well. They could have, the only thing I thought of before seeing this movie is they could have told us that these characters either retired from the rebellion after their good job, or they went off to fight the Empire in a different part of the galaxy. And that's why we don't see them again. So they could have maintained the continuity and not killed everybody off, and made it much happier.
Yeah, so, I'm just trying to process how they'd work that out. But yeah, I get what you're saying. The point, though, Todd, is that, and I think you'd agree with me, for younger impressionable minds, say below the tween, and why violence bothers us, is I think there's a lot of disturbing things that occur in this film, right, that end with a crescendo of death. Or, instead of saying death, you could say sacrifice. I mean, is there really one to grow on here? I can't say it's the most super fantastic film that comes with this great, you know, message. It's it's strictly entertainment. And again, I think for children who are impressionable, who don't get the overall plot, and I think, too, that's highly dependent upon episode 4, right?
Sure.
Like, we know episode 4 intimately, so we know how this is all going to kind of resolve.
Right.
And that's why, and what's interesting is that this movie actually makes Luke Skywalker even more of a luminary, right? Because he really is good, and he fights for the right, and when he goes up against Darth Vader now, it's going to have even more impact, right? Because he's not only showing, again, it's funny, because I never really pursued the Rebels. I just always assumed they were just on the level. But now Luke is showing everybody, you know what? We need to bring this all together. And light needs to triumph over dark.
Well, and you talked about scenes of violence, and you talked about fighting and that sort of thing. And I know that, for example, my 15-year-old boy, those are his favorite scenes.
Yeah.
The scene of the Jedi. He's not a Jedi, but he's a...
He's a Will? That's what they call them. They're Guardians of the Kyber Crystals.
Guardians of the Wills, yes. Yeah. Warrior who believes in the Force, they talk and they right. call him. You know, when he's an interesting character, but when he gets his stick and knocks out a bunch of stormtroopers, you know, my son loves that. Yeah. That's a high point of the film for him. Am I worried that he's going to get a stick and go to school and start twirling around and whacking kids? No. But that is still what the movie is.
Yeah.
Built around for kids. It's still about the action. The dialogue and the subtleties of the politics and the whole, the relationship between director, is it Krennic? Who's the...
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about. His sort of obsession with not only building the Death Star, but his own personal glory.
Yeah.
That's something that's mostly going to be lost on kids.
I just had a Star Wars epiphany.
Uh-oh.
with adding Rogue One to the set now, it makes sense as to why the Rebellion could not actually get the New Republic to work correctly. Because they're corrupt.
Well, sure.
I'm just saying, like, now it becomes... Because I was always at the end of Episode 6, like, this is all going to work out because these are the good guys.
Right.
But now, with this new, like, point of view on it, suggesting that, hey, Mon Mothma, probably not on the level she's willing to work with all these kind of criminals that are willing to do whatever it takes to get the Rebellion agenda through. Now it suggests that maybe the New Republic was never going to work. Right?
Well, we've talked about this before, which is interesting because the good guys can always get away with doing things that they're not supposed to be doing because they're the good guys.
Right.
So in the movie, basically the Rebellion decides that they're not going to go after these plants.
They right.
decide it's too dangerous. It's not going to work. You know, they gather all their people. They let them all have their say. It's very democracy oriented. And they are able to make a decision. And then part of their group just says, well, screw you. We're going to go do it anyway. And off they go.
Right. All right. Guest speaker right now, Maddie Kidney. What do you need, Maddie? I'm stay-at-home dadding this morning. So what's up, Maddie? What's up?
I wanted apple juice.
Okay. Can I get you apple juice in about 5 minutes? Okay. There you go. That's how that works out. I'll be there for you in a couple minutes. We're almost done.
Just in case our listeners out there think that we're not real parents and we're just making this up.
Special guest
there it is.
Needs boys, apple girl. Juice.
There
needs
it
apple
is.
Juice. By the way, girl's not going to be seeing Rogue One. Not anytime soon.
Yeah, I mentioned this last time. My daughter is 12. She's my youngest, and she saw it. And she enjoyed it, but she did mention the fact that they killed off all the characters at the end.
Yeah.
She didn't love that. But again, and we talked about this before, how much of your entertainment do you want to be more realistic, as it were? How much of it do you want your kids to – do you want to teach your kids that entertainment is almost always a departure, right?
It's a weird thing because Hollywood would tell you that they have a message and that it's art in some capacity. This is the new medium of the generation, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they also want to make a big – you know, it's all it comes down to the bottom line, like how much money can Disney make? Sometimes I wonder, right? But I think they do try to sneak messages in there, right?
Oh, sure. Well, they sneak messages in there that they know people want to hear. Like the reason that a story works is that people, A, want to put themselves into the story, and B, people want to feel like they're on the right side of something.
Kinda.
Right?
This day and age, a little bit different, but yes, I understand what you're saying, right? I mean, even if you're watching Game of Thrones, they still root for Jon Snow, right? Even though everybody's a real fiend in that show.
Sure. And you get the same thing with Star Wars, where you know you're supposed to root for the rebellion, per se.
Yeah.
But you also are intrigued by the Darth Vader character, and the scene at the end is really cool. And
I wish it wasn't as cool as it was, because those Darth Vader kids are just going to go berserko. I mean,
yeah.
Wow. It was, well, that whole scene was almost worth the entire film for me.
I know.
I hate Darth Vader.
Well, that scene was for the gamers. I'm sorry. That was a gamer scene.
It felt like episode 3. It felt like what you would have seen something like a sword fight in episode 3. Holy moly, that scene. But yeah, fun.
But that's the biggest, yeah. I don't want to get
too much. You could actually probably see the guy behind Darth Vader with his gamepad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, boop, 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 boop.
Well, and it still represents a huge – that's the biggest continuity issue, because you go from that to episode 4 where it's Darth Vader and Ben Kenobi, a couple old men poking each other gently. I mean, it's just
– Well, but, you know, given in light, Ben Kenobi really did destroy Anakin. So Darth Vader's got to have a little bit of trepidation against the 71-year-old Jedi.
Yeah, yeah. Right? We can go down the road of the psychology of that. But
anyway. I think we've nailed it this time in that saying that, and I don't think your question's completely been answered, which is, what is it about violence?
Right.
I tried to give you an answer, but I don't think it was satisfying enough for you, other than I think that little impressionable minds – you can go miles with just an image for them. And I think, I don't really want my kids dealing with that at this point.
Sure. And that's something that every parent has to answer for themselves. Because, again, is your threshold, is it visuals? Is it concepts? You know, that sort of thing. I mean, quick story. I remember taking Jonathan to see Cars in the theater, you know, years ago. And he was a much younger lad, right?
Yep.
And, you know, if you've seen Cars, which I think a lot of people have, we're set up with this scene right off the bat where Lightning McQueen gets lost.
Yep.
Right? And he's trying to get to this race in California, right? As soon as this is established, you know, my son sort of leans over to me and he whispers to me, he says, "Is he going to make it to California?"
Yeah, it's funny. My daughter said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
The first time they saw that scene, they're like, oh, the plan is off track, right?
Right. No violence, you know, no language.
It's
no
a little
sex.
Bit disturbing. It's a little disturbing.
Right.
Like, someone's not taking care of Lightning McQueen in some capacity, right?
Right. And that fits into a much larger thing, which we don't have time to get into, but a much larger concept of adult content.
Yeah.
We walk our kids along through their innocent years, as it were, and we expose them to bits and pieces of quote unquote real life. Adulting, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness, sadness, the reality. And death is a challenging aspect of that. Like, how much do you put in front of them? Some of it is just gonna happen, right?
Yeah.
You buy your kid a pet, and then the pet dies. And they want the pet to come back, and you have to sit there and go, well, it's not.
Right.
Death is part of life.
So you let's watch Rogue One together and learn a bigger lesson.
Yeah. But then, they're faced with these things, bits and pieces, as they go along. And the tough part for parenting is to sort of say, all right, I want them to be able to handle certain things. But we also know that even as adults, you know, we don't handle adulting great all the time. It's not like we get to the point we say, oh, death is no big deal now. If anything, death is probably harder for adults sometimes because they grasp the full spectrum of it, as opposed to a kid who can kind of compartmentalize it and not really relate to it and then move on. So
I hate to say it, but I did put a timer on this episode, and I know that our audience is thinking, when is Dave going to feed that child some apple juice?
That's right.
I'm sure they're thinking about that right now. Like, that terrible father. He said 5 minutes. It's been seven.
All right. So real quickly, Twitter, parent mistakes. Facebook, parenting mistakes. Email the show, parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. Give us $1 million on Patreon.
Oh, please.
We're on YouTube and Stitcher and Google Play and Podomatic and iTunes, and you can buy my book on Amazon.
Yes.
Anything else?
And we're live. We are we.
Yes.